God a big hand. Come on, let's just thank him. All right. Yeah. Woo. So excited to be with you today. So excited to be here. How many of y'all excited to be here for the good news? Come on, the good news. We're taking a look this summer. We're walking through the gospel according to Mark, the good news according to Mark, one of the gospels. We are going to be in Mark chapter 3 today, looking at, does Jesus still heal today? Before I jump into that, I just want to let you know that when I met Jesus Christ in a very, very real way, I had a religion, but I didn't have a relationship. I was very religious. I grew up in a very religious home. We went to church almost every single Sunday. I was an altar boy. I went to confession. I went to CCD. I did all those things. But at some point in my life, I realized I had a religion, but I didn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And what happened was, is I didn't realize it, but I had a contract with God. And many of people in this room right now, you have a contract with God. That means I'm going to do this, God, and you're going to do that. And as long as God's holding up his end of the bargain, things are fine. But what happened when I met Jesus Christ and said, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I have sinned. I have fallen short. Forgive me of my sin, and now I want to be a follower of yours. I began a relationship, and I went from a contract to a covenant. And the difference between the two is a contract allows either one of us out if the other one doesn't do their part. A covenant is a deep relationship that binds us together relationally in commitment. That, yeah, we both make promises, but even when those promises aren't kept, we're still in. My wife, Natalie, and I, there's been a very few times over the last 3.5 decades that I didn't live up to my end of the covenant. You know, and but we have stayed in a covenant relationship because it's a deep covenant by which we've bound our lives together. And even if something doesn't work out the way I want it to, we are still deeply committed to one another. Amen. Right. The same is true with God. We go from a religion to a relationship. We go from a contract to a covenant with God. And today I want to help you live out your covenant with this covenant God. And so we're going to jump in and really answer the question, does God still heal in today's day and age? So we're going to go to Mark chapter 3. But before that, I want to give you the text, the context of what Jesus is saying here. Before chapter 3 is chapter, there we go. And so Jesus' followers were going along and they were picking grain because they wanted something to eat. And the Pharisees, those who became all about the rules, said, your followers are breaking the Sabbath rules. And Jesus is like, no, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Now, I still believe in the Sabbath. I still believe it's active today. I believe that we all need to unplug from work and be refreshed physically, spiritually, and emotionally. How many of you could use a little bit more of that? See, but it grounds me. It says that God is important. It's as similar as just as I give money, as we tithe, as we give 10%. It grounds my faith and says, I'm trusting God. And many people in the room, you have trouble resting because you're taking things into your own hand and having a hard time trusting God with your future. And so Sabbath helps us stay grounded. Now, I wanted to give you that context because it relates to what we're going to uncover in Mark chapter 3, verse 1. Jesus went into the synagogue again. The synagogue, in our terms, would be the Jewish place of worship. I want to let you know that Jesus again and again and again went to the synagogue. Listen, Jesus was a churchgoer. So Jesus was a churchgoer. What should we be? There we go. Come on. Yeah. See, Jesus did this again and again and again. So why do we commit to church? Just because it's, you know, we can stay out of trouble for a couple hours on Sunday morning? No. We come to get refreshed, renewed, restored, and it's life for us. But as he was there, he noticed a man with a deformed hand. Actually, many translations say a withered hand. Since it was the Sabbath, Jesus' enemies watched him closely. If he healed the man's hand, they planned to accuse him of doing work on the Sabbath. Now, there's many people, even in this room right now, you're watching Jesus closely. You're watching everybody in the room closely. As a matter of fact, you're looking at me closely, just wondering, will I have something to accuse him of? Yeah, I'm working on a Sabbath. I would be, except for this ain't work to me. This isn't work to me. Matter of fact, I don't get paid for this. No, see, many people say, well, you get paid. No, I don't. I get paid for everything else, not this. The people up on stage today, did they look like they were doing community service?
No.
They looked actually like they were happy. The people that greeted you on your way in, were they doing community service? Was that work to them? I'm here fulfilling my duty. Get in there, find a seat, and shut up. Just sit down. Just be quiet. The ushers, they're not here going, and don't tell me it's hot again. So remind you that there's a real hell. No, we're here because it's joy. And listen, when we lose our joy in serving God and being a part of all this, we need to go back to Jesus. Because we lost our relationship and we slipped into a religion. Religion will wear you out. Religion will wear you out. Trying to please God, trying to follow the rules, it will wear you out. Okay? Especially the man-made rules here. So the Pharisees were up front. They had fancy clothes. Everybody knew who they were. And they're watching this Jesus character here. And they watched him closely. They knew Jesus. He's a healer. He's going to do something, and we're going to catch him. Okay? Now, the withered hand, I wanted to explain this to you. According to the Greek, the withered hand, the deformed hand, was not something this person was born with. It was something that was acquired over time. The hand, literally, many people say that this person did cement work, they did masonry work. I don't have proof of that in the Bible. That's just history tells us that. But for whatever reason, something gotten weakened in this person's life. There are people right now that are listening to me that there's a part of your life that gotten weakened, that you lost your strength. Physically, spiritually, emotionally, you've lost your strength. And what Jesus wants to do is restore your strength to you today. You came here to get restored, and you can be sitting in church week after week, month after month, year after year. You can go, but still have a weakness that God wants to restore. That's what we see right here with this man with a deformed hand. So Jesus looks at him. Listen. If you lost your strength, you came to the right place because Jesus is going to restore your strength.
Amen.
I just want to make that really clear. So what was the big idea with the Sabbath? What was the big idea that Jesus, if he does something on the Sabbath, man created 613 rules that you have to obey on the Sabbath. I mean, I'm having trouble just staying under the speed limit. That's one rule, okay? Let alone all these rules. Literally, let me demonstrate this. If you cut your finger on the Sabbath, you could put a Band-Aid on it, but you couldn't put Neosporin on it because that was healing. You could prevent something from getting worse, but you couldn't heal something. Religion will tell you, you can't get better. We're just going to try to keep you where you're at. A relationship with Jesus says, we want to restore this. We want to make it better. Are you glad you came to church today? See, if a wall, literally, if a wall fell on somebody and they were pinned, you were allowed on the Sabbath to remove the wall from them, but you couldn't cast them until Monday. That's what the rules were saying. The rules were like, you can't do this, you can do this, you can't do this. They were all man-made rules. Now, I want to let you know, God still has really important things called the Ten Commandments that are still really important. He didn't say, you know, y'all can do whatever you want now.
Right.
Jesus came. I just came to free you from everything. No, he came to free us from religion, which is man's attempt to please God with a contract, and move us into a covenant where I get to serve God, and I'm free to serve him now. Amen. With great joy. And I'm free to learn to love my wife. I'm free to learn to be selfless in every area of my life. I'm free to do what he's asked me to do according to his word. Are you with me now? Right. See, so we can't just get so wrapped up in all the rules there, in the religion, and miss what Jesus is doing. Let's go on and read verse 3. Jesus said to the man with the deformed hand, "Come and stand in front of everyone." Now, as we read this, come and stand in front of everyone. Many of us are like, well, that seems kind of mean. Why does Jesus want this poor guy to come in front of everybody with a deformed hand, and now he has to show everybody his weakness? Could it be that until we're willing to bring our weak spots to Jesus in front of other people, he can't restore us? Could it be that many of us in this room right now are trying so hard to hide our weaknesses from other people, and we're not getting restored in Jesus' eyes because we're hiding rather than presenting and saying, "Jesus, I got weakness, heal me." Now, how would you like it if I said, "You know, give me the microphone. We're just going to have everybody come up here and confess their weaknesses before everybody." How many of you would be like, "I'm out of here"? Come on, really? I mean, that's foreign to our thoughts, but brokenness in healing is where Jesus does his best work in restoration. Right. And until we're willing to admit we have a need, he can't heal us. Right. So he says, come and stand in front of them. And then he turned to his critics. Can you believe that Jesus had critics? Can you believe that? Right. Do you live in the same world I do? Right. There's critics here. Does the law permit good deeds on the Sabbath, or is it a day for doing evil? Is this a day to save life or destroy it? But they wouldn't answer it. And what Jesus is basically saying, he sees, he knows, and he cares. And I don't know what you're going through today, but Jesus sees, he knows, and he cares. And we came here to not just get a relief from our problems for a moment, but we came here to find what Jesus really needs. What he needs from us is just our lives before him. Jesus, I need you here, because he wants to heal. So first of all, he says, come and stand. So the first thing Jesus says, come and stand. And then in chapter 3, verse 5, and he looked around at them, his critics. He looked at them, and he angrily... He looked at him angry. Does Jesus get angry? Yeah, he does. But he does not sin. Be angry, don't sin. Big difference. Big difference. It says he was angry. The gospel, the good news, says he's angry. What's that to swell? Be fixed and did you catch that? See, most of our anger is very passionate feeling against sin. It's a settled disposition that something's wrong. And he was angry, but he did not sin. Is it okay to be angry? Yes, but you can't sin. But we should get angry. And this, I want to preach this message at some point. I'm going to. What made Jesus sad, mad, and glad? I've been saving this one. It's in my heart. One of these days you're going to get it. And yeah, come back next week. I don't know. You know, come back. But when you see what makes you sad, mad, and glad, you'll see your value system. So every person here, if you wrote down this afternoon, you sat in a nice, cool, air-conditioned place, and you wrote down what makes you sad, mad, and glad, it will reveal your value system. It will reveal what's in your heart. We're seeing what's in Jesus' heart. And he was saddened. He was grieved. He had sorrow. Why? Because they had hardness of heart. There was hardness of heart here by their hard hearts. What that literally means, that's a substance that's hard like marble, like a marble substance, very, very hard. But what that literally means is this: it's callousness. Have you ever developed a callous? No, no, nobody here's ever, yeah. Okay. How do you get a callus? You get it by something rubbing you the wrong way. Yeah? When something rubs you the wrong way long enough, you're going to develop a callus. If you were to talk to the guitar players up here and you were to look at their fingers from playing guitar, probably most of them have a callus buildup. It's numb. It's done. I'm trying to look for one of them. Yeah, I mean, it's like, am I right? Yeah, it's like there's no feeling there anymore, okay? Because, see, we have callousness in our hearts. Jesus rubs us the wrong way, and we're looking for reasons to accuse him. And some people in this room right now, we're looking for a reason on why this doesn't work. We're looking for a reason on why these people aren't really, like, they're really not nice people. They just pretend it. No, I'm telling you, we're looking for the critics. We're looking for reasons to justify why we don't need this, when in reality, there's a longing in our hearts for a relationship with Jesus Christ. And maybe we should just go back and literally say, listen, I don't want a religion. I want a relationship. And I need to go back to him because my heart has become like marble because it's a callus. I have suffered greatly for the cause of playing tennis. And on my new, I just got my racket wrapped, and it's not wrapped right. And so I'm just a victim. You know, I'm just a victim. And I got this callousness right here, and it's become so insensitive now. It's dead. And there's a deadness in our hearts because we're callous to Jesus, to his freedom. Are you with me here? So what's been rubbing you the wrong way? Don't let it create a hardness of heart. The other part of this word literally means if you fracture a bone and it doesn't heal properly, it can develop a calcification on it. And if you look at the x-rays, it has a little bump. I broke my thumb years ago, and literally I broke it, and right in here, if you look at the x-ray, there's a little bump on there because it didn't really heal correctly. Okay, back in the late 1900s, they didn't have good technology. So now it doesn't take much. You hit that thumb. See, when people around you rub you the wrong way, could it be there's a fracture inside of you that hasn't healed properly? There's something inside of you that hasn't healed. There's something inside of you that hasn't really properly connected here. And so we need restored. And what Jesus is saying, don't allow it to prevent other people from experiencing Jesus. Because the Pharisees here, this is what their problem was. Their problem was is they were so consumed with sin, they forgot the goal was to get to Jesus. They were so consumed with the rules, they forgot that getting people to Jesus and repenting of their sin and learning about Jesus is the goal. The goal became the rules rather than the relationship, which truly frees us, and I don't have to sin anymore. See, he didn't say there's no sin. Oh, no such thing as sin anymore. Do it. No, 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 no. He said there's such a thing as sin. And when you meet the real Jesus, you're going to love him more than your sin. Is that helping you today? No, I'm sorry. I want you to catch this because it's so very important here. It's a constant friction. And we can't be so... our goal is not to catch people in sin. Our goal is to connect people to Jesus. But if we're not careful, our callousness and our fractured past are going to hinder people from getting to Jesus. Jesus said you're going to be offended because of me. When he was talking about John the Baptist, he said, send back word. Tell him the blind see, the lame walk. Come on, the deaf hear. All of these, in Isaiah, what happens in Isaiah, right here, all these things in the Old Testament that said what Jesus is going to do, he did. But he says, don't be offended because of this. Don't be offended because of this. Jesus really does restore. He really does heal. I'm telling you here. As a matter of fact, in the Gospel of Mark, this wasn't just a one-off. There's a series of healings that he does here. Look at all the times he heals in the gospel, the good news according to Mark. See, when I met Jesus, I got salvation, I got the Holy Spirit, and it was in the context of, 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 of healing that I met him. So when I met Jesus, it was in the context of watching people get healed. I got the Holy Spirit infilling, and I got salvation all in one day. I would call that a good day. Come on now. Come on. See, but look at all this. Paralytics, blindness, leprosy, fever, hemorrhage, deafness, raising of Jairus' daughter. Look at all the times he heals. And so the struggle we have here is if Jesus really does restore and he really does heal, why don't I get what I want? And how come I don't get exactly what I want, how I want it? Now, let me try to explain it this way. Does everybody get healed? This is a rough one. This is really rough. There's two ends of the spectrum here. One end of the spectrum, Jesus will heal everybody. And if you don't get healed of your element, physically, spiritually, relationally, whatever healing you need, you know, emotionally, then you have sin. You're bad. Have you ever? Am I right? There's something wrong with you. You just need to repent more. You need to find a hidden sin in your life. There must be something wrong with you. Have any of you tried that one? I tried it. I'm going to tell you, it doesn't work. Because it's all based on you. You're the one that you need to get it all together. Now, the other end of the spectrum, follow me over here. Okay? Well, Jesus doesn't heal at all. It was only for biblical times. Jesus doesn't heal. He doesn't heal anybody. So just don't even ask him for anything. That's religion. Just try to stay where you are and not make it worse than it already is. That's the Sabbath rules. Am I right? But how about both of those are wrong? My God is a healing God, but he heals according to who he is, not according to who I am. There have been times I've been struggling with all kinds of physical elements, bad back for a year, multiple problems, and I prayed for people, and they got healed. And I'm like, hey, God, what's up with that? I'm serious. I've been like, are you serious, God? I've said that. But it's up to him, not me. And may I suggest that both ends of that spectrum are incorrect biblical stances. For years and years in my life, it was just one of these things I always wanted to do. I wanted to pray for somebody that was drunk or high or stoned, and I wanted to see him get, like, instantly set free. So I've been on the streets of New York twice. I've been in Chicago praying for people. I've been in all kinds of crazy situations. And I prayed for everybody that would, like, stand there and listen. And I did. I prayed for them, and nothing happened. And then we have this outreach at our North Braddock campus. It's a Thanksgiving outreach. And they bring somebody to me because, you know, I'm the pastor. And, I mean, this guy's, like, he's out of it, man. He's stoned. In more ways than one. And they go, pray for him. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be real good. I'll be honest, I didn't have faith. I just was like, I'm okay. I mean, all the peeps and sheeps are watching. I guess I got to do something, you know. I mean, it's like, that was in my heart. I said, okay, God, I'll pray. So I closed my eyes and I prayed for this person. I prayed that God would sober him up, and I prayed that literally they would have clean thoughts and we could share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I prayed over him. And I'll be honest, I opened my eyes and he was like, I'm like, what happened? He goes, I don't know what just happened, but like I'm not, and he was talking clear. He was level-headed. It happened right before my eyes. And I got a chance to lead him to Jesus, prayed salvation, prayed for him, watched him be restored right in front of my eyes. And I'm like, I didn't even have that much faith today. Come on. No, I'm serious. See, I fell into the trap of thinking it was about me, not Jesus. See, healing and wholeness and restoration are up to Jesus. Now, I do believe he heals, and I believe that healing is for today. But I also believe that faith isn't faith until you ask God for something. He doesn't give it to you, but you still trust him as a good God anyhow. There's this paradox that I live with in our Christian life. That I can't control or manipulate God because that's religion. I'm in a relationship. I can't control God any more than I can control any other covenant relationship I'm in. But my goal is to steward the relationship, not the control of getting what I want. So does Jesus still heal? I believe he still heals. I don't believe that it was ended. There's no evidence biblically that healing ended in the biblical times with the apostles. I can't see it. And I have too much experience over the years. Do I keep praying for people? Yeah. And it's up to Jesus and his love being expressed. That's the good news. But I don't want this. Listen to me. I don't want this. I don't want to become a stumbling block to other people from meeting the real Jesus. I don't want the hardness of my heart in rules and regulations. Well, worship needs to go this long. Preaching needs to go this long. We need to meet at this time. We need to go this. I don't want to get so wrapped up. I just want to do everything I can so as many people as possible can experience the good news of Jesus Christ. How about you? But not everybody's excited. In verse 6, not everybody's excited. The two groups of people, the Pharisees, the religious zealots, and the followers of Herod, the political zealots, who hated one another, they got together to plot to kill Jesus. May I suggest to you, be careful who you're plotting with to kill Jesus. No, I know nobody, I would never do that. Oh, we do that with our mindsets. We do that with our thoughts and saying, if you do this, I'll do that. If you do this, God, if they'll sing my song, I'll still come. If they'll do this, I'll do that. If church is at an inconvenient time, I won't come. Jesus was a churchgoer. I don't know that it was always convenient for him, but he still went. See, are you tracking me? See, we can easily make it about what's best for me rather than I just want to do whatever I can for as many people as possible to experience him. That's what I want to be in love with. So what did Jesus do here? What did he do? Now there's an official plot to kill him. In verse 7, he went out to the lake with his disciples. And then he went to Murraysville, and he went to White Oak, and he went to North Braddock, and then he went to Brighton Heights, the uttermost ends of the earth. I mean, he crossed bridges, went through tunnels. He did everything to reach people. Come on. And he went about healing them and restoring them. This is our mission, church. And it's still available today. And we can still walk in freedom today. Yeah. And in this critical time, what did he do? Mark chapter 3, verse 3. Mark 3, verse 13. And so afterward, Jesus went up on a mountain and he called out the ones he wanted to go with him. Man, Jesus wants you to go with him. Jesus wants us to go with him. He wants you. He wants every person in this room to go with him. People say all the time, well, how do I know if I'm one of the chosen ones Jesus wants? The moment you choose him, you become one of the chosen ones because his invitation's there for you. His invitation's for you. His invitation to trust is for you and me. And he called those he wanted, and you know what they did? They came. And they came to him, and then he appointed 12 of them and called them apostles. And they were to accompany him, and he would send them out to preach, giving them authority to cast out demons. And many people in the room right now, you're saying, I'm not called to preach. I could never do what you do, Pastor. I'm not asking you to do what I do, but you can tell other people about Jesus. It just starts with a heart that just says, God sees, he knows, he cares. He sees, he knows, he cares. Say it. He sees, he knows, he cares. One more time. He sees, he cares. Yeah, I screwed it up. You got it right. I'm good. My mind was racing. I apologize. I do. you just qualify to tell people about Jesus. He's inviting you. He's inviting you to be a part of Him. He wants to accompany you. He wants to take a journey with you. People like us that don't deserve it. I did nothing in my life to deserve it. Nothing. That you can't be good enough for this. That's what religion tells you. A relationship says you're good enough because Jesus Christ invites you. And yeah, we're going to take a journey together. And He appoints us. He manufactures. And He wants to make something out of us. And so today, this is your due point. Will you become a part, an active and growing part of Jesus' church? An active and growing part. Will you discover your gift and see how you can make a difference in life? See, everybody that is in the parking lot, parking cars, those guys out there, they're a part of the healing team. The people that are outside greeting when you come in, they're a part of the healing team. The children's ministry, a part of the healing team. Student ministry, a part of the healing team of the good news. The worship team, part of the healing team. The production team, the connection point. The group leaders, everybody. We're a part of the healing team. That's the good news. Come on. He wants to make something out of us. And so today, at 12:30, when we're all done here, I want to invite you to learn what it means to be an active and growing part of our church. Why not you? Why not here and why not now? That's the good news. And so afterwards, Pastor Nick's going to tell you where you need to be at 12:30, and they're going to feed you. I'm so sad I have plans today. They're going to feed you, and they're going to help you learn what it means, because we together can create healing for other people. What did Jesus do? He kept His mission the mission. Would you stand to your feet with me today? Lord Jesus, I pray for every person right here, right now, Lord God. Lord God, let today be a new day right now, new day, Father. If you're here today and you don't have a day, a moment, or time that you became a follower of Jesus Christ, where you said, I am a sinner, forgive me, Jesus, I want to be a follower of You. You came to the right place because that's why we're here. I want to invite you into a relationship with Jesus Christ. I want you to invite you to be one of the chosen by saying, I choose Jesus. If you've never received His forgiveness, you never said, Jesus, I'm a sinner, I want this relationship. If you never said, like, God, I want to be a follower of You, and I want to learn what it means to be a follower, I want to offer You that relationship today, not a religion, but a relationship. So, Father God, in Jesus' name, every person in this room right now that You're tugging on their heart, right now, Lord God, let today be a new day for them. And if you're here today, and that's you, what I want you to do joyfully and boldly, I want you to respond. If that's you and you say, I want to be a follower of Jesus today, come on, just raise your hand right where you are and say, I want today to be my day. Who wants that today? Just raise your hand. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Who else here today? Who else here today? Come on. Who else here? Thank you very much. Who else? Thank you. Thank you. Keep your hand up. Be bold. I'm a follower of Jesus. Come on. Anybody else want in on this? Anybody else want to thank you? Thank you. This is what I want you to do. We want to treat you with honor and dignity. And so, listen, if you're in that row with them, could you get out of the row? Let them move to the back, right to the back, straight there. Come on, let them out of the row. Come on, get out of the way. Get out of the way. Go ahead, get out of the way in Jesus' name. Don't become a critic. Come on, in Jesus' name. Come on, go ahead, let them out. Come on, give them a big hand. Don't be staring it down. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. So right now, in Jesus' name, Lord God, for every person in this room right now that needs healing, they're weak and they need restored, let today be a day of restoration. Lord God, I ask You right now by the blood of Jesus Christ, Lord God, to heal right now. And if that's you, you have a weakness in your life, physically, spiritually, emotionally. Lord, I pray for an infilling of Your Holy Spirit, Your presence, and Your power. Lord God, do it. Do it today, God. Infill and restore by the grace of God.